Welcome to the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
All right, everyone, it's that time of the week.
Everyone panic. Everyone throw your money on the table.
80 fab, Jimbo?
Maybe not this week. Maybe next week, though.
Welcome to the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Seitz, joined always by James Donahue.
What's going on, everybody?
Just a quick reminder before we start the show, we are an Apple Podcast and Spotify. If you could please subscribe, follow us, and write a review, that would be amazing. For today's show, we're going to start off with some waivers. Going through each position, me and Jim are going to highlight some guys we think should be top priority for you and guys you should be throwing your money at.
Absolutely. I know. And I know what that means to throw money at people.
Jimbo's well-versed
yes.
in throwing his fab. And at the end of the show, we are going to be doing a little bit of trade talk because we know a lot of teams are hurting. A lot of lineups out there had Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. The list goes on and on.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll be able to see whether performances from your superstars on your team are something to worry about or if they are something that you could just hold on to.
All right, without further ado, let's get into it. Week 3 waivers, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start with the quarterbacks. I'll start off here. I really like Gardner Minshew versus Miami this week. Gardner and the Jacksonville Jaguars projected to go 0-16 by some. Minshew mania has been taking over. The power of the stash.
Yes. And, I mean, if you want to go ahead and if he's not on your team and just go out there and trade for him, I would also endorse that move because, again, this week he has Miami. Then he has Cincinnati, Houston, and then Detroit, all extremely favorable defenses. I am definitely jumping on the Gardner Minshew. I'm a part of Minshew mania. I was worried that he had 20 passing attempts his first week, but he came back with 45 passing attempts. I have no doubts anymore.
Yeah, I mean, 20 passing attempts, but 19 completions and 3 touchdowns.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Minshew. All right, Jimbo, who else you got here for quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to piggyback off your pick from last week, Nick, but Big Ben definitely balled out last week when he threw the ball 41 times and had 311 yards, and he also collected 2 touchdowns. I'm going to be going with him again this week, who he faces a horrible Houston secondary in the Houston Texans. So not only that, but he faces Tennessee, Philadelphia, and Cleveland for the next few weeks. I love Big Ben going forward, and I especially love him this week.
Yeah, and the Steelers are always great in smash matchups, so I think Big Ben and Gardner are very good going forward. Another guy, Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill is just a guy that defies the odds. Ever since he started, he's been the starting quarterback in the league from 2019. He's only scored under 21 points once since week 7 of last year as a starter. No matter what the matchup, no matter what we see, Tannehill keeps producing no matter how many pass attempts.
Right, and he's almost turned into matchup proof. I mean, last week he had 43 passing attempts, and people that aren't necessarily believers in him may look at last week's performance and say, "Well, now he only threw the ball 24 times." Well, that was around the amount of passing attempts he was throwing last season, and he was still one of the most elite quarterback options late in the season. I definitely expect him to do that. Continuing moving on.
For sure. I think all the 3 guys we just mentioned might be season-long starters. Last one, a little bit more controversial, but definitely on your waiver wire. It's Jared Goff. And Goff had a great game against Philly. He's going against Buffalo this week, then the New York Giants, then Washington, then a depleted San Francisco defense. I mean, we just saw Miami lit up Buffalo, so I'm not as scared of Buffalo's secondary.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff may not be the flashiest quarterback out there, and he may not be the most efficient, but one thing you know with Jared Goff is that he passes the ball. He's going to be giving you the opportunities, and he doesn't really turn the ball over. He's only thrown 1 interception so far this year, and he has his passing options, whether it be his wide receivers, his tight end, and his also pass-catching running backs. He's surrounded by a really great offense, and he will give you a solid floor.
All right, now moving on, wide receivers here. I say probably, for me, probably the top ad, in my opinion, would be Russell Gage, 20% owned across leagues. He's at over a 20% target share. I think he's among at least the top 15 in the NFL through the first 2 weeks. He's been producing week one and week two, and I think this kind of consistency in the passing volume of the Falcons is here to stay.
Absolutely. I agree with how many times Matt Ryan is throwing this ball, and I think Julio's week three status might be a little bit in danger. The hamstring injury he was dealing with seems to be a little more severe than the team thought, or at least what we thought as fantasy owners. But all you have to look at is the target share. 12 targets week one, 9 targets week two, and you love to see that type of opportunity coming from Russell Gage. He's a must own in all leagues.
The bigger question that we're sitting here pondering once again in week three is, do you pick up Corey Davis?
I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do it. Week one, we saw 8 targets, but then he came back with 5 targets, only 3 receptions for 36 yards. He did manage to get that touchdown look, but I expect A.J. Brown to come back this week, and once that happens, I think this will be a completely different passing option. I think he's going to be the third target in this offense, A.J. Brown being number one, and then Jonnu Smith being number two. But we'll see what happens. I'm just not ready to jump on it yet.
Yeah, I think my head coach Mike Vrabel came out and said today they're not willing to kind of comment on A.J. Brown's status yet because they're kind of unsure if he'll be available this weekend. Even with A.J. Brown out, I still don't like Corey Davis. I think Jonnu Smith is going to be pretty dominant in all their other receivers they got there. The stat line you saw from last week is pretty vintage Corey Davis, around 5 targets, 40 yards-ish. I would probably leave Corey Davis alone if I were you.
Me as well.
Another guy, Mike Williams, 50% owned across leagues, had kind of a pooper week this last week, but it's looking to bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what he looks like, his target share, what it looks like when Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback week one. He saw 9 targets, and then when Justin Herbert became the starter, Mike Williams only saw 4 targets, and he was pretty much the only person in that offense who didn't really get their fair share of opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see if that's what's going to be the new norm if Justin Herbert stays the quarterback. He's still a must-own, in my opinion, just because of his pedigree and what he's done in past seasons. But at this point, I'm not excited to start him.
Yeah, and look at that schedule. Carolina, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, New York Jets, Miami, Jacksonville, and the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely juicy for sure.
Probably the best kind of schedule you could see going forward.
Yeah, I agree.
Next up, we have Alan Lazard and MVS, the number two options over there in Green Bay. It's kind of a toss-up, to be honest, of who's really the number two here, but both of these options don't really excite me too much.
No, me either. If I had to choose one, it would probably be MVS, simply just because he's seen more targets over the past 2 weeks. MVS saw 6 targets week one, 7 targets week two, and Alan Lazard saw 4 targets week one and 5 in week two. Both didn't come away with stellar performances, but MVS was able to walk away with 96 yards and a touchdown in week one. But honestly, we'll see what happens if Davante Adams is not in this lineup in week three.
I believe Davante Adams will play. They said he was taken out as a precautionary measure, and he could have gone back in if like the team needed him to, but that game was such a blowout, like they didn't need him.
Yes, of course.
Expect Davante Adams to be out on the field, and in that case, it lowers the value of Lazard and MVS.
Simply because Adams gets 20 targets a game.
Right. Next guy up, he's owned in most leagues, but needs to be owned. DeSean Jackson, 57% owned across leagues. Had a very nice target share this past week, 9 targets, 6 for 64.
Yeah, I think we're all just hoping for that deep ball touchdown. But I think he does have to be owned because of the target share, but I'm not necessarily ready to start him just yet. I mean, he does face Cincy. I mean, you hope that he can pull away with some type of big deep ball play, but Carson Wentz just does not look like himself. However, with that being said, I still think Jackson has to be owned.
I agree. I think you can sneak away a flex play with Jackson this week, especially with all the injuries. But yeah, we need to see something better from Carson Wentz. Last guy we're going to talk about, Jimbo, this is your guy, so you could talk about him.
Yeah, it's going to be Michael Pittman Jr. I was super high on him heading into the season. Week one, obviously, he did not perform, especially against a Jacksonville defense. He only saw 2 targets for 2 receptions and 10 yards. And you know what, Nick? I think I need to have an intervention. I think I'm just believing in Phillip Rivers too much. I think you need to sit me down and talk some sense into me. But in week two, he did walk away with 6 targets. And Paris Campbell, I'm pretty sure he's out for an extended period of time. I also, with that being said, I expect Pittman to see a larger target share. He does face the Jets, which is a very favorable matchup. I'm not saying to go ahead and start him. I'm not calling him a start of the week or anything. But at this point, I think he does need to be owned.
Makes sense to me. I believe so, too. But with Paris Campbell going down with the PCL injury, I think Michael Pittman, I mean, he ran the most routes of any receiver on the Colts, had the highest snap share, and a decent target share as well. I think he's a very, very good pickup this week. Now moving on to the running backs this week. We had McCaffrey. We have Saquon out. We have Mostert, Tevin Coleman. Any other running backs I'm missing that went down?
Probably, but there's too many to count.
Yeah, only 7 ACLs torn last week.
Oh, my good God.
All right. So I think the number one guy on most people's list, not mine necessarily, is going to be Mike Davis, the replacement for Christian McCaffrey, 1% owned. The Panthers have a terrible defense, which means they're going to be playing from behind in a lot of these games. And what we saw from Mike Davis was, yeah, he was 1-for-1 rushing, but he had 8 targets, 8 receptions for 74 yards. Mike Davis is nothing like Christian McCaffrey, but I think he can fill this role and give you some type of production while he's out.
Yeah, my only worry is that since they're playing the Chargers, which I value the Chargers offense way more than I do the Carolina offense, I wonder if, since they're going to be playing from behind, if Teddy Bridgewater is just going to be chucking the ball for the majority of the game. With that being said, it'll be interesting to see how Mike Davis is used as the three down back roll the majority of the bulk of the targets. Will he still see the passing? Will he still be used? I'm not necessarily ready to go all out for Mike Davis.
I'm pretty sure he will. 8 targets last week is pretty indicative that that's going to be his role when they were behind last week. Because, I mean, Deion Lewis, he's okay, but I don't know. wrong team, my bad. But
Mike Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I'd rather have Mike Davis than Deion Lewis.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, looking forward.
Especially with the re-signing of Devontae Freeman now. I mean, yeah, there's no comparison there. I mean, Mike Davis is slotted as the number one running back. I think, in my opinion, it'll just be interesting to see if he's still heavily used in the passing game. As you mentioned, he's not Christian McCaffrey. Not a lot of running backs can be as versatile in running the ball and pass catching the ball. But I think we'll just have to see. I'm a hold at this point.
I think if you're a McCaffrey owner, I think you have to go get him this week because he's going to be gone.
Right.
100%. So I think if you're kind of desperate, you have Saquon out or you need kind of a buffer replacement so you can work out a trade, I think you have to go after Mike Davis. We might as well talk about the next guy since we already mentioned his name. Devontae Freeman is probably going to sign with the New York Giants today.
Yeah, I mean, now we have Devontae Freeman, we have Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman. I mean, I'm not necessarily sure they're ready to slot, even if they get this signing done, Devontae Freeman in as the number one starter this upcoming week. You know, you have to get acclimated in an offense. You have to develop chemistry with your quarterback and your play callers. I'm going out and getting him for sure. If I had to choose one of these three running backs, I'm definitely investing in Devontae Freeman. I'm just not necessarily ready to start him this next coming week. I just don't know what an offense looks like with Freeman being the number one running back.
No, and if Saquon was having troubles with that New York Giants O-line, I mean, Devontae Freeman was struggling with the team he's been for his whole entire career with the Falcons.
Right.
I'm not very excited about this pick, but I think in desperate times call for desperate measures, people.
Absolutely, especially when you have all the injuries that we saw last week. And I really don't want injuries to keep coming, but after what we saw last week, it's almost like you have to expect them at this point. I mean, with this type of season, I think it's definitely wise that you go out and get a starting running back in Devontae Freeman just to have him on your bench.
For sure. And if he pops, he pops. If he doesn't, it's okay. But
right,
some people need a plug and play. I think Mike Davis, Devontae Freeman are good options. Now, we're going to talk about my favorite running back pick. My by by miles and miles, I don't think it's even close, is Josh Kelly, 28% owned, running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. Last week, in a close game with the Chiefs, he had 23 carries, 64 yards, and three targets, which were he had two receptions for 49 yards. I love Josh Kelly. He's getting the goal line carries. He's heavily used in this offense. It reminds me a lot of Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler of yesteryear. I think Josh Kelly needs to be owned.
Absolutely. That was the point I was about to say, was the Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler situation. It looks like the Chargers just know how to do that. It looks like they know how to operate an offense that produces two sustainable running back performances throughout the entire year. 23 carries, that's insane. That's what Todd Gurley's getting, or that's definitely starting running back work. That has to be owned. I would actually go out and get Joshua Kelly over Devontae Freeman. That's where I prioritize my waiver picks, especially because he had 49 receiving yards. And if, what's his name, the quarterback? I forget his name.
Herbert?
Yeah. I don't know why his name escaped me there. If Justin Herbert does remain the starter, then this is extremely promising for Joshua Kelly owners. And, I mean, Charger owners in general. Keenan Allen saw 10 targets. Basically, my point is saying that this offense definitely came together during this last game, and they face the Carolina Panthers this week, which is extremely favorable to all running backs. So absolutely, he's my number one waiver pick.
All right, and next up we have the 49er running backs, Jerick McKinnon alongside Jeff Wilson Jr. Now, over two games, McKinnon had a 10% target share of the 49ers offense. Overall, the Niners throw the ball to the running backs. They target the running backs the most of any team in the NFL. I think both these guys can fill in just fine for the 49ers. We saw Jeff Wilson fill in very well in the goal line last year. I think he had like four or five touchdowns last year and did fantastic. I think this is why we have McKinnon on the team, is to possibly take over this role. And I'd be targeting McKinnon hard this week as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's going against the New York Giants. We saw what he did last week against the New York Jets. I don't think this defense is much better. So absolutely, when you see how well the Niners efficiently use their running backs and how important it is to move the ball down the field, I think McKinnon is a must own. And I think you can start him comfortably this week as a strong flex play, maybe a desperate RB2 play.
Last guy I'm going to talk about is Myles Gaskin, running back, Miami Dolphins, 13% owned. In that close game against the Bills, he had 7 rushes for 46 yards, great efficiency, 7 targets, 6 receptions for 36 yards. Again, not the best option out there. I do like him. I'd rather pick up Myles Gaskin than Deion Lewis. I'd rather pick him up
probably
Devontae Freeman, to be honest, because I just don't. The New York offense is just a mess.
Well, not only that, but it doesn't seem to be any type of competition in this Miami backfield. Where the heck is Jordan Howard and Matt Breida? These were the guys that we expected to be a two-headed monster in this backfield, and Myles Gaskin has emerged as one of the most efficient backs in this offense. He's playing 60% of the snaps, and that's not even comparable to any other back in this offense. He's a must-own, and he's also a good flex play against the Jacksonville defense.
Right. I mean, last week, Breida tied him with 7 carries, but it was such a close game. They're airing out the ball, and Myles Gaskin got the most targets in the whole backfield. So I think he's a really, really good pickup as well that people should be targeting. All right, lastly, we're going to be talking about for waivers is the tight end slot. There's a lot of talent out there.
This is a very fruitful tight end segment.
First of all, let me start off by telling everyone to drop Rob Gronkowski right now.
One target? Is that what I'm reading?
Oh, for Gronk? I don't even know. I've watched all the Bucks games. I'm going to tell people right now, I don't care you drafted Gronk in the third. I don't care you drafted Gronk in the fifth. I don't care where you drafted him. He needs to be off your lineup. Tight ends under Bruce Arians can't be trusted. We saw this last year with O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate.
Right.
Brady is unexpectable. We don't know how he's going to perform. It's too early to tell. But one thing's for sure, Rob Gronkowski is not a week-to-week starter.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I can justify holding on to Rob Gronkowski is if you want to hold on to him in case he does pop. And if that does happen, you use that in order to trade him, because if you don't want to drop him. But my goodness gracious, week one, 3 targets for 11 yards, and then week two, 1 target, 0 receptions. I had no idea where he was. I think he was playing hide and seek with Nyheim Hines. But yes, there are far better options in this waiver wire at the tight end position.
He's a hard drop. There's no way you can pull off a trade with Rob Gronkowski. Maybe if your entire league sleeps under a rock or something. But anyways, who can you replace Rob Gronkowski with? Jonnu Smith is definitely one, 40% owned. With A.J. Brown out, Jonnu Smith is the number one red zone target for these Tennessee Titans. Jonnu Smith is a smash play and a smash pickup.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say. It's obvious that Ryan Tannehill loves to target him in the end zone. I think he has full capabilities of being a top eight, top seven tight end in this league this year. He's a must start.
Next guy up, Mike Gesicki, 47% owned, 11 targets last week, 8 for 130 and 1. Gesicki needs to be owned after this performance. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right, especially since he's going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, Seattle, and San Francisco, who were all three poor against defending the tight end position. So, yeah, 11 targets. That's insane.
Next guy up, Dalton Schultz, 1% owned, Dallas Cowboys tight end. Filling in for the injured Blake Jarwin from week one. I was a big believer in Jarwin due to Dak loving to throw to the tight end position. So last year, Jason Witten kind of got the shorter outs and whatnot and crossing patterns, whereas Blake Jarwin was running routes more past the 20-yard line. Dalton Schultz has absorbed both of these roles this season, and I think he's fully capable of finishing in the upper echelon of tight ends this year.
I agree, yeah.
Even after one game, I'm pretty bold on this.
Yeah, 10 targets, 88 yards, a touchdown. The way he was involved, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys were playing from behind in this game, so they had to air the ball out a lot. With that being said, though, Dak Prescott loves targeting his tight ends. I think that's an amazing pickup.
And another great high-scoring matchup against Seattle this week. I think you can easily start Dalton Schultz this week. And last guy, Jimbo, you can cover him since he's on your team.
He is on my team, and the reason why is because of the target share that he's getting, and that's Logan Thomas, tight end for the Washington football team. I'm not saying to go ahead. I'm not endorsing an automatic start, but week one, he saw 8 targets from Lame Haskins, and he got a touchdown, and then week two, he saw 9 targets, but he was only able to walk away with 4 receptions in each of those games. The only reason why I'm telling you to go get him or hold on to him is because of the target share. Hopefully Lame Haskins can somehow figure it out, although I'm not extremely optimistic about it, especially since on the horizon after this Cleveland game this week, they play Baltimore, then the Rams. But if you need tight end depth, Logan Thomas is a safe pickup and just a hold at this point. But he's the lowest on our tight end list this week. I would much rather go get Jonnu Smith, Gesicki, and Dalton Schultz.
I'm all in on Dalton Schultz. You heard it here first, folks. A star is born.
Ah, yes.
Not really. I believe more in Blake Jarwin, but I think this role is so valuable when you don't have an old fart taking up half the role.
And yes, and I learned last night that Jason Witten is on the Raiders. I had no idea that was even a thing.
I know. I forgot, too. I was like, oh, yeah, Jason Witten's on this team. He's a diversion for Darren Waller.
All right. That was a juicy tight end segment.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the deepest I can remember of the tight end pool being. Like, I don't remember there ever being so many viable options for the tight end position.
Right. 3 out of these 4 guys that we just mentioned have all potential of making it in the top 10 tight end rankings at the end of this season. And these are even some guys I'm willing to throw in my flex play with this type of target share.
All right. Lastly, guys, we want to end the show a little bit with just a little bit of trade talk. Some guys, some little bit of buy or sell. Guys we think you should be going out and getting. Guys maybe you should think about trading. So, Jimbo, if you're a Christian McCaffrey owner, what is your strategy other than trying to pick up Josh Kelly? Are you trading Christian McCaffrey or are you holding him?
No, I'm holding him. I mean, it all depends on what my lineup looks like. If I'm 0-2 and my lineup isn't shaping up to what it is, if I've sustained a lot of injuries this year, then maybe I can think about it, but the price has to be right. You know, I don't have to say that Christian McCaffrey is the number one fantasy player in all of football when he's healthy. And with that being said, he's expected to be back around week 3, But when he comes back, he's just going to pick up right where he left off. That being said, you need, if you are thinking about trading him, you need a very, very, very favorable return. Otherwise, then there's no point in trading him. But I definitely 95% lean towards holding on to Christian McCaffrey.
Right. I mean, I would trade him. People I'd consider trading him for, like, it has to be like in the, like, Zeke, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs. Those are probably the only people I'd be willing to trade McCaffrey for.
Right. Yeah. No.
Even like maybe like a lower tier, like maybe like a Miles Sanders comboed with a receiver. Like, you need a lot for him. And recall last season, Saquon, high ankle sprain of some sorts, projected to be out 8 weeks, came back after 3 weeks. So I expect McCaffrey to be back in 2 to 3 weeks. I think your lineup can sustain it, to be quite honest, especially if you work the waiver wire. Let's think of who else would we think about trading, Jimbo, or targeting?
Someone that you think, I think you're higher on this player than I am to sell is Todd Gurley. And I'm more on the end of going out and getting him. But I'm not willing to throw the kitchen sink out just to go get Todd Gurley. Me particularly, my team is rather scarce when it comes to the running back position, and I'm severely deep at the wide receiver position. So I would love to offer up really, really good wide receivers for Todd Gurley just to add to my depth. But you can also make the argument that you can go ahead and sell Todd Gurley.
Oh yeah, 100% sell Todd Gurley. 0%, no target share within the last game. You have Ito Smith and Brian Hill stealing goal line carries from Todd Gurley. For him to be viable and for him to be considered even an RB2, he needs to have touchdown value, and that's really not coming to too much fruition if the Falcons are in these kind of shootouts, which seems to be a very common theme of their season. Gurley's not getting like the looks that you need for fantasy production. I mean, sure, maybe he'll get a few more targets down the road, but it's definitely very concerning to see the kind of role that Gurley's currently in. So, I mean, I can understand if you are desperate and like all your running backs are out and you need someone, so someone who's low on Gurley can go and get him. But if you're looking to maybe improve your lineup and you're okay at running back depth, I'd probably stay away.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Another guy people can go out and trade for, I think this is a great option, is Joe Mixon. People are probably pretty low on Mixon, considering kind of how last game played out. You're expecting a bigger performance against the Browns. But I have pretty solid faith in Mixon that we've seen this from him before, and he is probably going to be a bell cow for this offense.
Absolutely. I mean, he saw the targets that we were hoping for this last game, saw 4 targets and had 40 yards in the passing game, had 16 carries, and there's no competition in this Bengals backfield. So Joe Mixon is going to get...
There is. Gio Bernard.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely value Joe Mixon more than Gio Bernard.
Yeah, I mean, Gio Bernard played majority of the third and fourth quarter last game. That's why Mixon's numbers didn't exactly pop.
Yeah, I mean, I still value Joe Mixon. I don't think his job is in danger at all in any way. And I think he's still going to see all the production that we need. I would definitely go out and go get Joe Mixon as well.
Yeah, I mean, you could even use Giovanni Bernard in your case to go get him. Make their owner kind of freak out that they think it's a 50-50. Obviously, it's not a 50-50 timeshare. But I think he's a solid person that people might be low on right now to go get. Another guy I think is really solid to go get is Kenyon Drake, that people could be a little disappointed about in his first two games. Not terrible fantasy performances by any means, but did you see the Kenyon Drake tweet?
No, I did not.
Oh, man. Well, I could look it up now. I'm just going to try and recite from memory. Basically, he said, go ahead and drop me from your fantasy lineup and bless someone else's team.
Jeez, those are fighting words.
I know. I mean, I think Kenyon Drake's role in this offense is gonna be there. He's gonna have he just haven't had like the big pop game yet. But I mean, he has Detroit, Carolina, the Jets, Dallas, Seattle coming up. Surely, I think these games will be very telling for his season. I think he's going to pop very soon. He's seeing a fair good amount of attempts, 16 or in his first, 20 in his second, a few targets here and there, and Chase Edmonds is nowhere to be involved. So I think it's just a matter of time before Kenyon Drake pops, and you should go trade for him now while people are low on him.
Great pick.
All right, anyone else, Jimbo, you could think of?
I like A.J. Brown and Keenan Allen as people to go buy for Keenan Allen. The reason being is because he saw 8 targets week 1, 10 targets week 2. He walked away with 96 receiving yards, and I think this offense is about to really be put together. Not to mention their schedule is Carolina, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, New York Jets, Miami, Jacksonville, and the Raiders. I think the Chargers have one of the most favorable schedules heading forward for the rest of the first half. And also A.J. Brown, and the reason being is because I think people are afraid of the injury, but it was just a bone bruise, in my opinion. Nick, you're the doctor here, but in my opinion, I think you can easily come back from a bone bruise. There's no hamstring, there's no ankle injury involved in this, and A.J. Brown, a healthy A.J. Brown, is one of the most elite receivers in this league, in my opinion. I think you can go ahead and buy both of these guys.
Yeah, I think, well, it's possible A.J. Brown might be out another 1 to 2 weeks. It's more so until he's not feeling pain. It's just, yeah, I don't know what the degree of his injury is, but A.J. Brown's super efficient down the field target. He doesn't see a lot of volume, but he usually cashes in those big plays. I'll round us out here by talking about DJ Chark. DJ Chark has not dropped a pass this season. He was 3 for 3 in his first game with a score, and he was 4 for 4 this past week for 84 yards. I think it's eventually going to come around and hit the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're going to see some negative game scripts coming forward, and I think they're going to rely on Minshew to throw ball it out a little more and rely a little bit more on Chark. I think owners of Chark are a little bit low on him considering where they drafted him. I think he's a really good buy now before things start really taking off.
Great pick.
All right, I think we're done.
All right, sounds good to me.
All right, everyone, that was our Week 3 transactions. Thanks. If you're listening this far, thanks again for tuning in, everyone. We really appreciate all the support.
All right, guys. See you on the next one.
See you tomorrow, everyone. Take care. Good luck tonight on waivers.